Hi, Kirby.
Hi, Sarah.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
Welcome, Glamgelinos.
We hope you stay a while.
Cute. That's cute.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Press and go. Just press and go.
That's my motto.
Life's a show when you just press and go.
No, literally, that's our 2024 motto.
Just press and go.
We don't have time for glue. We need to just press and go.
Stop with the glue. Glue is so 2002.
Wow.
We're talking about impress, press on falsies, and press on manicure. The impress press on falsies are these lashes that require zero glue. They have a variety of different styles. I personally am a fan of the natural and also the wispies. I like applying a few just to the corner of my eyes. And honestly, this is faster for me than applying mascara. It is so quick. I gotta also tell you the falsies, one thing I forgot to mention, they're the underlash. It's underneath the lash. So they look super, super realistic. No glue, just press and go.
Speaking of press and go, let's talk about the Impress No Glue Manis that I am obsessed with. If you follow me, you know that I am in my press-on era right now because I do not have time to sit in the chair at the salon like many of you for like 2 hours. And that's fine because thanks to Impress, you can have a super fabulous mani in seconds. You don't have to apply any glue. They come in all different styles. And the Impress manicure has a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days.
If you want to try the no glue mani or press on falsies from Impress that won't damage your nails or lashes, just go to Impress. That's impressbeauty.com/Los Angeles. And then use our code Los Angeles to check out for 25% off Impress manicure and press on falsies. Sarah, I have something to recite to you.
Oh my God, Kay.
Hey, Miss Honeybee. It's Dolly P. You know that hussy with the good hair you sang about? Reminded me of someone I knew back when, except she has flaming locks of auburn hair, bless her heart. Just a hair a different color, but it hurts just the same. That, my friends, was Dolly Parton on MFN Cowboy Carter with Miss Queen Bee, Beyonce. When I tell you I squealed a squeal that nobody's ever heard squealed before when I heard her voice, and she said hussy. She said hussy. And if you're a Southern girl, my mom always used to call people that were mean to me in school hussies. That little hussy doesn't even know who she's messing with. That's what my mom would say. So the fact that Dolly Parton's on Beyonce's album saying hussy.
Wow. That was spectacular.
Thank you.
You should do that more often.
I'm a descendant from Dolly Parton. Of Dolly Parton. Dolly, I love you. Capricorn queen over there. Oh my God, Dolly.
We need to get Dolly on Los Angeles.
It's like her and Rihanna are my bucket list people.
Yeah, no. If we were to get Rihanna and Dolly, we would just end the podcast.
What if we had them both at the same time? Los Angeles Summit, and it's Dolly and Rihanna. That would be an epic episode. It would have to be 2 hours long.
Oh my God. Speaking of, if you are looking for a great children's book, Dolly Parton's book called Billy the Kid makes it big. It's about a French bulldog that goes to Nashville to pursue its dreams of becoming a famous musician. And then these other big dogs are mean to him.
No.
Yeah. And then he sings Jolene. It's really cute.
I want this book.
Yeah, it's great. You get it at Target.
Okay. And by the way, thank God Billy went to Nashville and not Los Angeles, where they're taking French bulldogs and selling them from people. Horrible.
Oh my God. I know.
If you live in LA, I truly say this, like I see people walking French bulldogs in West Hollywood.
Looking on their phone.
Yeah. I'm like, babes, take your headphones out. Yeah. Buy, truly go buy a gun or a knife. Like, I would kill someone for my dog.
Do not tell our listeners to go buy a gun.
So, hey, it's self-defense, man. If you try to take my dog, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, no, I'll kill you
too. I will kill you. And that's on loving your dog.
Yeah. It's scary out here.
Get mace at the very least. Do something. But mace. Like, you need to be alert and you need to be looking around. You don't need to be on your phone.
No.
Giant headphones on, both ear pods in. One ear pod, low volume, and making eye contact with your dog and making sure it's not too far ahead of you. Just saying.
I have a question. Do you work out with those headphones?
Hell no. And you know what? This is to Jack.
Yes. I was going to bring it up. Jack.
Glamgelino.
One of our favorite glams.
Glamgelino Jack. By the way, happy belated birthday. Was he working out with them on? Or was he talking about people working with?
He was hiking with them on and he was like, how do you all work out with these because my ears are so sweaty? And I'm like, yes, I always think about that. How are people going on runs with these giant ass headphones? They can't be comfortable.
It's disgusting, but you can pull these little things off and wash them. We're talking about the big Air Maxes or AirPod Maxes, whatever they're called. You can pull them off and wash them. And there's all these TikTok tutorials on how to properly clean and sanitize these, which I need to do. But even then, like, my little AirPods get all weird and like gross and sweaty and.
Yeah. But anyways, I just brought that up because I saw that on Jack's Instagram. Also, Jack, you look so cute.
Jack, you're killing it, bud. We love you dearly. All right, let's wife it up.
I have one that I want to share. It's from Frenchie, which is Ashley Tisdale's brand.
Okay.
Congratulations, Ashley Tisdale. I think she's expecting baby number two. How cute that her and Vanessa pregs together.
But are they friends still?
Are they not friends? Sorry.
Well, because you know that Austin was Ashley's friend before.
Right. And Ashley always posts about Austin Butler. Is that the tea?
I think the tea is that Austin got Ashley in the.
Oh, in the divorce.
Yeah. In the partnership ending, the breakup. Yeah.
Whoa. I didn't even think about that.
She has said that it's not a thing, but it's like they used to be super close. And now it's kind of like.
Right. Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Anyways, back to Ashley Tisdale. She has her brand called Frenchie, which Kirby and I have talked about before. It's available at Target. It's extremely affordable and it's actually really good. Like, they make really beautiful lotions and body washes, but they've entered also like the fragrance category, and they sent me their Present and Grounded Palo Santo Sage Glow On Perfume Oil.
Ooh.
When I am stressed, which is every 5 minutes, I just like... Rub it on my pulse points.
Sarah shoves it all the way up her nose.
Yes, I like, if I could, I would. Yeah. I'm doing it right now. It
don't.
Smells so lovely. And I just like take a deep breath. I think it's like less than $20 or something like that.
Yeah, it's super affordable.
Super affordable. You can throw it in your purse. If you need a moment of calm and serenity, you're in the car, you're stuck in traffic, take a whiff of this, baby.
Wow.
And, you know, you'll have maybe a few minutes of bliss and then you're back stuck in traffic, but it's all good. So that's on my desk. What's in your desk?
Okay. I have, and we can finally talk about, a sample of the orange jelly from Vacation. Now, some of you guys are likely seeing all the promotion around this because this is a discontinued product from Bandy Soleil. Okay. They discontinued it in 2019. And Vacation said there was an outcry over the discontinuation. We're going to remake it. And that's a pretty hard feat, all things considered, because they don't have the access to like all of the way this is formulated.
Right.
So they sent us a sample and it's not in its, I don't know if, I think this is its final form. But obviously, this is not final packaging because it's in a tube versus being in this little jar. First of all, it reminds me of an orange creamsicle. And
yeah,
I love an orange creamsicle or a dreamsicle or whatever you want to call it. Had you ever tried this product when it was under the Bandy Soleil banner?
No.
I haven't either. So I'm probably not the best person to speak to how close they got it to the original. A lot of people were messaging me like, hey,
do you have this product? Have you tried it? I want to purchase it, but I want to know if it's the same as the original. I don't know what the original felt like, smelled like, anything. I had honestly never even heard of this product until Vacation said that they were reviving it, which is so interesting to me.
I feel like we were maybe a little too young to be purchasing this on our own.
Okay. 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 That would make sense.
Oh my God. I'm obsessed with the scent.
So the cement, it's the cement, the smell, the cement, that is a new term for us. It's more of a perfume fragrance than a fruity or tropical or anything fragrance, right? So Orange Jelly, this is a sunscreen gel. It's broad spectrum SPF 30. The original, I believe, it was a sunbathing essential. So you would put this on in order to get like a tan if you were laying out at the beach, but you know. Nobody's advocating for like laying out at the beach anymore, getting any type of sun exposure. So they turned it into a sunscreen. And what I think Vacation is doing really well is taking, because we're privy to a few launches coming up from them, they're taking beloved products and turning them into sunscreen.
Yes, and like modernizing it and adding SPF.
Yep, which I think is pretty brilliant. The advertising for this is incredible. Sarah, how in French, how do you say B-A-I-N?
Bon de soleil. Sorry, I just asked
bon
Google.
Bon de soleil.
Bon de soleil.
So it means sunbathing in French. Hence why it was not an SPF before. But it's great. I love the way it feels. I can't describe the smell. How would you describe it?
It's like very fresh. I could never be a perfume writer.
Okay. It says that the new Orange Jelly contains a slew of nourishing oils like jojoba, sweet almond, bergamot, and coconut, as well as vitamin E. And the scent, which Vacation says was the hardest element to nail down. This is all from Harper's Bazaar, by the way. It's inspired by the French Riviera and was created by Carlos Huber, which is the nose behind Vacation's signature fragrance.
It's supposed to transport you to the summer of 94 in France. So, okay.
I was in Georgetown, Texas in 94. So very different summers.
I was in Carlsbad, California, San Diego. But it does, like, when you smell it, you're like, I'm somewhere like on vacation. It does also have like a, even though we didn't use this when we were little, like a nostalgic scent, right?
It does. It reminds me of a nostalgic perfume. But this is what it says. It has notes of bergamot, clove, saffron, patchouli, and sandalwood. And it smells enough like the OG Bon de Soleil to satisfy diehard fans with a modern twist.
God, the branding is so good.
No, the branding is really incredible. They're marketing geniuses over there. We have been day one Vacation fans. I mean, we've been really talking about it literally since this brand launched because of how incredible the branding, marketing, and product is. I mean, it truly is my go-to sunscreen, body sunscreen. We're testing a few things. We got sent a bunch of lab samples, and I am obsessed with this one that they're coming out with soon. I cannot wait to talk about it. It really is like a sorbet.
Yeah. And it gives you this nice sheen, just like a hydrated, lovely glow.
Yeah. I can't wait to get the final packaging. Same. To really be able to utilize it in the way it's meant to be. But it's pretty fabulous.
When you were talking about branding, I immediately thought of this one collaboration that just launched that's actually sold out. The e.l.f. Cosmetics Liquid Death collaboration.
I saw this.
At first I was like, this is insane. Like,
no, I'm like, this is so weird.
All my love to the e.l.f. Cosmetics family. Obviously, Kirby and I, you know how we feel about them. But the first time I had Liquid Death was at Patrick's birthday party. You had them. And I was like, what is this? Like canned water? This is so weird. They had this collaboration and it was like for corpse beauty or whatever is like the trend. So this is the pitch. e.l.f. Cosmetics just launched a new Drop Dead Gore, G-O-R-E, just partnership with a limited edition collection with Liquid Death. The five-piece corpse paint collection contains holy grails like a show proof eyeliner pen, O-Face lipstick to get the corpse paint beat, which corpse paint is apparently trending on TikTok with over 340 million views. It's very like metal.
So the imagery of the woman drinking liquid death with the makeup, it looks like Kiss.
Yes.
Like I want to rock and roll all night makeup.
Exactly. And then I was like, this is so crazy. Why would they partner with Liquid Death? And then I read an article about how Liquid Death is the third most followed beverage brand on social media, like after Red Bull and Monster, I think, and how they are valued at like $1.4 billion or something. And it is not because of the water in a can, it is because of the branding and like their social strategy and everything.
Okay, that's brilliant. I'm going to go follow Liquid Death immediately. I bought Liquid Death because it looks like beer. And
yes.
I wanted people to feel like they were, if they didn't want to drink, they were still being like social. And they not only have like flat water, they have sparkling water, they have flavored water. It's kind of like a mind fuck though, because when you drink the water out of the can, you're expecting a soda or you're expecting a beer or something like a Truly or something. And it's just water.
Totally.
It very much messes with your brain. But again, Elf is not going to do anything that doesn't actually make sense. Remember when they partnered with Chipotle?
Yes, yes.
I just found the Chipotle makeup bag as I was organizing my office.
Yeah.
It felt so random and weird, but it was around that time where like Tinks had her own Chipotle bowl.
Right.
And like everybody was talking about these hacks around, you know, getting healthier versions of Chipotle. It was like very, very much of a time and relevant of that time. So I love that little piece of information about Liquid Death. I mean,
yeah, there's a great article on Forbes, Kirby, I'm going to send it to you. That's just about their $1 billion valuation and why it isn't about the water. It's about their marketing strategy. It's just so, so smart. So anyways, that whole collaboration sold out.
Good for them. Speaking of $1 billion valuations, that kind of leads into our first talking point today, which is about brands that are IPOing potentially or selling. So there has been in the last week a lot of talk around Rare Beauty and Glossier. Business of Fashion has a beauty newsletter, The Business of Beauty. There is a story that says Selena Gomez's Rare Beauty exploring an IPO or sale as net sales cross $400 million. Okay, so by the way, Rare Beauty's not even 5 years old yet. It's going to celebrate its fourth birthday this August, September.
Remember when we had Selena Gomez on the podcast, everyone?
Yes, and I will never forget their birthday because we were the only podcast to have her on to launch the brand.
In the thick of COVID, during the pandemic, I remember I was like...
Via Zoom.
So pregnant.
Yes. Yeah. Like Sarah was about to give birth to Zoe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we were just talking with Selena Gomez on Zoom.
Fun times.
So this is what it says. It says Rare Beauty is exploring growth options to sell the brand or to hold an initial public offering. The Business of Beauty has learned setting up what would likely be one of the biggest payouts for a celebrity beauty brand ever. Okay. So we know it's founded by Selena. It crossed $400 million in net sales in the 12 months ending in February. That is bonkers. It would put the brand on an elite tier in a crowded field of celebrity-backed brands that sprouted up around the same time. Only Rihanna's Fenty Beauty, which launched in 2017, has generated more sales. And Kylie Jenner's Kylie Cosmetics reportedly surpassed $300 million in annual revenue at its peak, though demand has since fallen. Rare sales are also global, with nearly half coming from international markets, driven by an exclusive retail partnership with Sephora in most regions. Rare Beauty sales, which haven't been reported publicly before, explained that at least a $2 billion asking price or more for this brand. This too would be an outlier even in the active beauty deal space. Only Tom Ford's $2.8 billion sale to Estee Lauder, Kering's $3.8 billion acquisition of Creed, and a handful of other transactions are in a similar playing field. Priya from Business of Beauty says that sources close to the company told the Business of Beauty that a sale is one of the only options Rare is looking at. Other possibilities include an IPO or a partnership with a private equity sponsor. It has hired investment banks Raymond James and Goldman Sachs to advise. Okay, so I reached out to somebody that I trust in this particular realm. This person works behind the scenes in beauty. They work with a lot of brands. They have seen a lot of brands exit, and I wanted their opinion on it, and they asked me to keep them anonymous. And here's what they had to say. They said, basically, for Rare, I think they are greatly positioned. I believe their valuation is actually in line with their performance, and they raised at the right times for business. And from what I have read, all sensible valuations. So I think that they are appropriately valued from what I have read about sales and how much growth potential they still have for their brand, i.e., they can still go into Ulta. In this story, it says it's potentially being valued at like $2 billion, but I don't know if that has changed at all.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
That's got to be the biggest valuation in beauty. $2 billion?
That's what the story says. So here is another one from Rachel Strugatz at Puck. She has her beauty newsletter at Puck every week. And it says that there's a showdown between Glossier and Rare Beauty. So it says, amid the multitude of beauty brands up for sale this year, Glossier and Selena Gomez's Rare Beauty are almost certainly the most anticipated and valuable entities. In the last week, it's been reported that both engaged bankers, which coincidentally valued each company at about $2 billion, likely a sign that the companies are making a market for one another. I've talked to some people who think it's an either-or situation, meaning that only one will see that big liquidity event in 2024, but I'm a bit more optimistic. The beauty industry is thriving, and there are enough strategics with large balance sheets to support two blockbuster deals. Last year, Aesop and Creed were both acquired, the latter of nearly the value of Glossier and Rare combined. That said, beauty is in the eye of the capitalized beholder, and I can see why a strategic buyer eyeing Glossier might pass on Rare Beauty or vice versa.
Do you think that's why Emily Weiss has been more in the public eye again?
Yeah, I think that they're doing a lot to really, A, it's like the 10-year anniversary of the brand coming up. I think that they really want to be back in the public's eye, the investors' eyes. Like, they want people to know.
And like, consumer Kirby, I don't spend as much time on TikTok. Are people talking about Glossier on TikTok?
I don't think people are talking about Glossier on TikTok, to be completely honest. I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. I think that they have done something that literally no other brand has really been able to replicate since. Mm-hmm. Everyone's trying to do what they were able to do 10 years ago, and they really haven't been able, to create that lifestyle. I do think that they had some issues, you know, trying to position themselves as a tech company versus a beauty company, you know, and we know all the stuff that happened during the pandemic. Like, one of our top episodes to this day is what happened to Glossier. And Sarah and I are fans of this brand. I mean, we really respect Emily Weiss for being a beauty editor and creating a website that people loved to go to and felt that they could get like insider scoop on the best products. I mean, they created the Top Shelf. They created that.
Exactly. And Emily Weiss, like, for people, you know, you might have your criticisms, but she is a branding genius.
Totally.
Into the Gloss was so chic. Every website, editorial, magazine, which is like trying to like replicate what she did there. And then, of course, Glossier. So yeah, I feel like sort of like she had her baby and she was focusing on being a mom. But then I've been seeing her a lot more like on social and being featured in articles and stuff. So it makes sense, I think. But I do think that there is room for both of them to get really big deals.
So Rachel also reported this week that Glossier has hired Morgan Stanley as a financial advisor, and she's reliably told that Glossier is in deep conversations with LVMH regarding a potential acquisition. The conglomerate is particularly interested in Glossier's expanding fragrance offerings, which includes the popular You Scent. And this is what a source says. They have this number one fragrance. They're not just selling cloud paint. That's why they're worth $2 billion. Glossier You was Sephora's best-selling scent in 2023, which is crazy because Sephora also has Sol de Janeiro, okay?
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. and Fleur, right?
Right.
And it only costs $72, which is a steal when you have like Tom Ford and stuff like that.
I still wear Glossier U almost daily. It's still one of my favorites. There is something about it.
So I'm on the camp of I'm not totally sure. We talked about this. When I got Glossier U, it smelled good on everybody else except me. I hated how it smelled on me.
Yeah.
And I actually have some Glossier U here that I'm going to try to re-explore and see if anything's changed. But I did ask the same source about Glossier. And this is what they said. For Glossier, I do feel it's going to be a tough situation. They raise so much money at very, very high valuations when they position themselves as a tech company. Investors will need to all be paid back based on terms agreed for those prior fundraises. And while that may be possible for them, it definitely seems like it will be harder. That being said, going into retail has helped them substantially, so perhaps they can achieve a high value in a sale or IPO. But overall, I encourage people who are fundraising not to fixate on valuation. It is only one aspect of the term sheet. So much more goes into the deal structure. $1 billion valuations aren't necessarily a good thing. I think that we all see like the higher the number and we're like, oh my God, that's incredible. But when it comes down to brass tacks, it could be a detriment if they're really not turning out the amount of money that they are being valued at. So,
and I think we talked about that with Glossier on that episode.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, that's a lot to live up to.
This person has expressed that it's like almost a kiss of death in a way.
Yeah.
You almost have to act a little bit more quickly when you have a valuation like that because you don't want to lose steam, right? Mm-hmm. So I think Glossier is still extremely relevant and they're doing really interesting things and they're always truly leading the charge. For instance, they were the first brand ever to invest and partner with the WNBA. And mm-hmm. now we are seeing so many brands start to align themselves with the WNBA. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. From sponsoring entire teams to working with the league as a whole, but Glossier really was the first, and not even just the first, but like by a landslide. Like they've been doing it since they were in the bubble in 2020.
Yeah.
So they put their money where their mouth is. They really like to be different. And that's what sets them apart. You know what I mean? They really are leaders in the beauty space. And of course, Rare, I'm wearing right now their new.
Oh, it's so pretty on you.
It's really pretty. The Soft Pinch Luminous Powder Blush, which they combine their highlighter and blush together. I think it's gorgeous. I didn't think I was going to like this because I don't like highlighters anymore.
Same.
Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was going to make me look too greasy or like too fake. And it's truly a beautiful, beautiful finish.
It's really pretty.
So a big fan of that. But yeah, fascinating stuff over here. I mean, it would be wild if either of the brands IPO'd.
Yeah.
That would be crazy to me, but like amazing. But it's kind of like with Naturium. They didn't IPO. Obviously, they were acquired by e.l.f. But $383 million for a three-year-old brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you don't say no to that. You're like, all right, let's do this. You know what I mean?
Seriously.
I think Selena Gomez and her team are probably thinking, we've sold $400 million and $70 million worth of blush in the last year. Like probably time to explore some options, you know?
Totally. And there you have just such a smart team of people, including Selena. So what an exciting year. It's only March. Actually, when you're listening to this, it'll be April. It's only April. And so much has happened. And then there are still so many other beauty brands on the table that are looking for potential buyers too. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
I know. I love seeing like who's going next. Who's the next big acquisition? Listen, I feel like I love doing my hair, but it is very time consuming. Like you have to set aside a time. It affects my entire schedule. If I have work to do and then I want to go to the gym and then I need to take a shower. I don't know how the working mother does it, a la Sarah, but even for me as a singular woman with a dog, it's hard to find the time. But
you have to like work backwards. You're like, I have this event on Tuesday, which means I need to wash my hair on Monday night, which means then I have to do my workout that morning. It's just like, it's too much.
It is too much. But we are grateful for products that make it a little bit easier.
Yes. Okay. On the frizz front, which we know that I have been struggling because of these baby hairs that are sprouting out, I'm so grateful for Way's anti-frizz creme.
It is a beautiful product. I have been using it and it's been saving me time because it does it all. It provides that immediate frizz control and it lasts for 72 hours, which is incredible. It helps reduce and repair my split ends. And according to Consumer Perception Study, which I am included in that, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. There's tons of other whey products that we are devoted to.
Put a dollar in the jar every time I talk about the detox shampoo. That is the best shampoo of all time.
You should put your face on it, like a sticker on it, because I do think of you when I use it.
I love it. It's thick. You don't need a lot of it. You lather it up nicely in your palm. You put it on your head. It makes your hair clean, your scalp clean, but it's not too clean feeling, which, you know, I don't want it to feel like squeaky clean. That's not the vibe I'm trying to get off.
Exactly. So pick up that shampoo, pick up the anti-frizz creme and get 15% off. So go to thewhey.com, that's THEOUAI.com, and enter promo code GLOSS for 15% off any product. That's THEOUAI.com, promo code GLOSS. So Fast Company released a list of the most innovative beauty companies of 2024 last week. And Kirby and I just want to go through the list and see if we agreed.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now. This is our opinion and our podcast. So do we agree with this list? Let's see.
Let's see. Okay. They picked 10 brands and it's a mix of hair, nails, skincare. Yeah, so let's start with number one, Sol de Janeiro. They said, for creating a supreme-like drop cycle that keeps Gen Z fragrance devotees engaged. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. I love Sol de Janeiro, but I do not think it is an innovative company. The drop model's not new. Maybe I'm coming in hot with this take.
You are. This is a very hot take.
The drop model is not a new thing. I mean, call Kylie Cosmetics. They have been doing this for years at this point. And that's how this model works. It's not exclusive to Sol de Janeiro. Yes, it's like gotten people back into body mists and it has really capitalized on their Gen Z audience. And I love what Sol de Janeiro does.
I think they're genius marketing and social.
But if I'm going based off what Fast Company is saying in terms of
being innovative for their, for their drop cycle, that's not what I would highlight.
Same. So if you go to the story, it says, so in terms of beauty, it is number one, but on the overall 50 most innovative companies list of 2024, it's number 39.
Okay.
And it says that body care brand Sol de Janeiro became a bona fide phenomenon in 2023 by releasing new products like their Taylor Swift albums and inspiring almost as much excitement. The gross sales of the company tripled last year, earning $625.5 million. And collecting each scent is now something of a sport among the brand's Gen Z and Alpha super fans. I don't know. Fleur has a very similar model to this. And yes, like it could be argued that Sol de Janeiro is way more popular with Gen Z than Fleur is. But Fleur, in my opinion, was the one that kind of gave way to Sol de Janeiro to do this because nobody was talking about fragrance on the platform until people started talking about missing person. And then that kind of opened up the door for everybody to really start going hard on their fragrance collections and stuff like that. So,
yeah. And I think that Sol de Janeiro obviously had just an existing infrastructure already to be able to, you know, capitalize on that. And yes, they did really, really well. Like,
totally.
I remember learning that they were maybe not number one, but one of the top sellers at Sephora from other brands that are available there. And I was like, really? That's so crazy. And then started talking to like my nieces and all the young people and they were obsessed. Speaking of, I'm bringing my niece Kenzie to the Sol de Janeiro event on Wednesday because it's her spring break.
Oh, cute. I love that you're just like collecting all your nieces and taking them to different things.
Yeah. But because she's obsessed, she's absolutely bananas about the brand. So yeah, I agree, Kirby. I think that they are innovative in a different way. I don't think that their selling model is innovative, but interesting. Okay. The second is Jolie Skin Co. And Fast Company says they are celebrating them or honoring them for filtering our dirty shower water so we can have clean skin and shiny hair.
So we learned about Jolie Skin Co. through Marta's Air Milkshake Suite. And Kirby, you currently use the shower head, correct?
Yes. So I had actually met with the founders of this brand prior to Air Milkshake. So I was already familiar with it. And I do think it's really smart and really genius. The story on Fast Company says how the Jolie shower head became a viral hit by exposing a dirty truth. And it says, I bet you can't name the brand of your shower head, but you also didn't know that the water flowing through it contains contaminants that are the root cause of many hair and skin conditions. They have done a really good job of educating people, like, okay, great, you have skincare, but if the water you're using is hard, it's probably causing some problems for your skin and hair as well. So they have really been hard on like that educational component. And I agree. I think it's innovative in terms of like telling people to think about their shower head.
Yeah. And then again, like branding, like it's a very chic looking shower head and they make it look fun and elevated versus like ones that you can get off Amazon.
Right. And even their kit that they have, they teach you how to properly install it and they give you tape and stuff to wrap so you're not like water's not going everywhere. They really focus on installation and then also making sure that you're replacing the filters and things like that. So it's cute. It's chic. I love mine. I have mine. I love it.
Okay. Number three is Kitsch. And they said that Kitsch is innovative for setting the bar on packaging-free hair care. Okay. I'm just going to say this. I disagree.
Yeah, I disagree.
People have been doing this for so long. Kitsch is a really cute brand. I know them for their really trendy hair clips and hair accessories. But packaging-free hair care has, like other brands have been doing this for a very, very long time.
Like Nolé is a brand that has been doing this for a very long time.
Lush.
Yeah. Honestly, like Lush should be on this list because not only are they still innovative and thriving, but they're not even on social media anymore.
Right.
So
they have a new Shrek collaboration.
I did not know that. That's amazing. No, but that's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah. And I don't think about Kitsch for packaging free hair care. I think of them for accessories. So I completely agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Next, we have Olive & June. This kind of speaks for itself. I mean, they really have been like the nail brand. You can get it at Target. People love their press-ons. I love their press-ons. They make so many different accoutrements for your manicure or pedicure, nail care before everybody else was doing it. So I agree.
Again, I think that like they aren't the first and only brand to make press-on nails that feel real. However, the branding of it all again, the accessibility. It's at Target. It's so cute. I have given so many of their nail care system sets as gifts. Like who wouldn't want that? You know, they have like a really cute for your pedicure, like where you could put your foot and then like the little inserts and stuff. It's just really, really cute. And I feel like this whole list, a lot of it is about like branding and marketing.
Totally. It's perception.
Yeah.
Everything's perception, people.
Nothing is real.
Okay. Then we have Bi Biosciences, which is the company that owns Pavise, which we featured founder Sophie Bi a couple weeks ago. So many of y'all loved that episode because she talked about sunscreen doping and all of those things. She is incredible. And I fully agree. I think that she's kind of changing the game when it comes to not only sun protection, but also anti-aging. We have Cali Ray for reminding beauty buffs that nothing needs to be in a landfill. So Cali Ray is Wendy Zomner's brand. And I don't know. It says in 2021, Wendy Zomner launched Cali Ray, a makeup line that uses ocean plastics in its packaging. I don't know. I do love Cali Ray. And truly, their products are products I use regularly. But a lot of brands do this. It says here, industry sources estimate the brand generated between $20 million and $25 million in retail sales last year after gaining an investment from True Beauty Ventures in Q1 2023 and selling out of its So Blown primer 7 times through its exclusive distribution at Sephora. It says that in 2024, Cali Ray is adding sequestered carbon, which holds on to CO2 so it won't be released back into the environment in the tubes in which its So Blown primer is packaged. I think that Cali Ray, if we're focusing on packaging, I don't know that the brands featured on this list are the ones to be that are the true innovators.
Yeah.
Like, where's Plus?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh my God. And any of their brands, Starface.
Or Where's Half Magic that uses.
Yes.
Their eyeshadow singles are 100% compostable. They're cute and they are made with potato starch.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No. And again, we love Callie Ray, but, and Wendy, a genius, an icon. But there are a lot of brands doing that. Okay. There's a few more. One Skin, which I personally have not used myself. They say that they're innovative for killing off the dead cells that make skin look old.
I know there's some controversy around this brand from experts in the community that are disappointed because, A, they went really hard on influencer marketing. And so a lot of your favorites were posting about how great and innovative and this is the future of skincare it is. It kind of gives me Augustinus Botter vibes. And I've kind of turned a tide on Augustinus Botter, which we can get into in a different episode. But there have been some criticisms of them using drug claims as marketing, which they are not allowed to do as skincare. I feel like that's a whole other episode in itself. I personally have never tried this, but some of the people that have been promoting this brand for me, I'm just like, you're using 20-year-olds to tell you that this is the future of skincare with cell aging. Like, it doesn't really, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just feels like a splashy molecule focus and then, and they have a lot of money to back it up.
Yeah. I'm really curious if any of our listeners use One Skin.
And if you've seen any marketing about it, I'm really curious. Okay. To wrap things up, of course, we have Danessa Myrick's Beauty. We don't even need to go into this. Yes.
Yeah. Deserved all the accolades and awards.
Frankly, she should be higher, but whatever.
Next.
What's Definage? I've never heard of this. Definage?
So I've never heard of this brand, Definage. I think that they are a skincare brand, but they are calling out one of their products that focuses on aging nails and reversing the visible signs of that. I'm all for it. I'll try it. I've not tried it. I love an innovative nail product. So, but I, again, not tried it before.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know much about it, to be honest, but yeah, sure. Cool. Okay. And then the last one is Mother Science. So Mother Science uses an ingredient, malassezin, which is not found in many other skincare products. It's from Anne-Marie Simpson Einziger and her husband, Mike Einziger, who is the guitarist for Incubus.
Wow.
They spent 6 years working with a team of scientists to study thousands of cellular assays and conduct 3 clinical trials that were all published in the Journal of American Academy of Dermatology. And I could go into more detail about this particular brand because I have worked with them in the past and I really, really like their product, this serum that they launched. It's the Molecular Hero Serum. And basically it's like if vitamin C does not play well for your skin and you have dark spots that you're trying to get rid of, this could be the alternative. And I think that they have really walked the talk when it comes to introducing a new ingredient and then proving that it actually works. I'm a very big fan of this particular brand.
I need to try it. Oh my God. I just like Googled and I remember because I was a big Incubus fan. Love Brandon Boyd. If we could get tickets, if there is an event around a launch and then they take us to an intimate concert where Brandon Boyd sings to me, I'm just putting it out there.
You are such an Incubus fan. No, I think that you will like this.
I'm sure I will.
With vitamin C, you worry about stabilization and things of that nature. Sometimes it can be a little burny on the skin, depending on the potency of the vitamin C. This particular product really does play well with all your other skincare products. I was using it when I was testing it day and night, and I was really impressed with my results. So I also think that the Glams may be getting an opportunity to try a new Mother Ooh. Science product for Los Angeles Confidential, but we'll save that for another day. But okay, so that's the top 10. We want to know y'all's opinions. Who is missing from this list in terms of innovation? I can think of several that I think are missing from this particular list, but we want to hear from you. Who was missing from the most innovative companies of 2024? Let us know by calling or texting us or sending us an email or DM.
Thank you everyone for listening this week. We will be back on Friday with another great guest interview.
Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Spotify so you don't miss any breaking beauty news or product reviews. And if you want to support us,
Be sure to follow us at Los Angeles Pod on all platforms and join our Facebook group.
Plus, find every product we recommend on our website, losangelespod.com, as well as links to the stories and news we report each week. You can follow us, your hosts. I'm Sarah Tan, that's S-A-R-A-T-A-N, on all social platforms.
And I'm Kirby Johnson, K-I-R-B-I-E, on all social platforms.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.